weeks ago, or actually last week, so see, I'm losing time with all this stuff. It seems like I mentioned last week that as we began the series, that one of the things I like about the Bible is that the writers never tried to make the Bible characters out to be better than they are. I mean, we get the whole picture of their humanity, and I love that because we realize they're really no different than us. You know, and I like that. People of the Bible are real just like you and I, and they go through the same things. And so those of you who've been around me know I kind of have a crazy imagination. And so I just I've wondered, what would it be like? You know, have you ever done that? What would it have really been like if you were there and as you're reading that? And, you know, so I wondered, do you think Noah and his family got seasick? I'm just asking. I mean, I'm wondering weird stuff. Okay, that's true. Do you think Jonah ever ate fish again? You know, just the thought. You know, did Jeremiah have any friends? You know, did Peter ever? Do you think Peter ever tried to walk on water again all when he was alone? So, all right. How about this? You know, we know Paul was single. He probably was married at one time, but you know, did Paul ever date anyone? Or would anyone even date Paul? That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. So, you know, so how about the woman that was caught in an act of adultery? You know, what did she say to her husband that night? You know, I'm just wondering. I mean, you know, and after Jesus, we talked about this as we were reading through Mark in our community group. Is see, after Jesus, delivered the Gadarene demoniac, you know, what do you think that guy did for a living? You know, so, or how about the lame man at Bethsaida, who's lame, you know, it never worked in his life. I mean, what do you think he did for a living after that? So, or how about this? Have you ever wondered what the innkeeper thought the morning after the first Christmas? I mean, or what he told his friends, why he turned out a very pregnant Mary, you know, mother of Jesus, you know, why he turned around and put her in the stable out there? Do you think the shepherds ever hummed the tune the angels sang? Hark, the herald angels sang. You know, I don't know what that, I mean, do you think? I mean, or what do you think the wise men told their friends and family when they got home? I mean, I wonder about stupid stuff like that. Do you ever wonder about that? I mean, these people are real. And so today I want to kind of focus on Joseph. I mean, have you ever wondered what Joseph, the earthly father figure of Jesus, thought as he raised the Christ child? You know, do you think Joseph ever tossed baby Jesus in the air and caught him? Do you think that? I mean, don't dads do that kind of thing? You know, did Joseph and Jesus ever wrestle playfully on the floor? Do you think that ever happened? You know, did they play catch or soccer or toss the football around? Did Joseph ever dig a splinter out of Jesus' hands? No. What do you think Joseph was thinking throughout the announcement, the journey, and the birth of Jesus? What do you think Joseph prayed about? I want to read a couple familiar passages about the Christmas story, about the birth of Jesus, and that I want you to use your imagination. I mean, I've set you up to know how I kind of think, which is weird, okay? You agree that's weird, but truthfully, I mean, I wonder about stuff like that. So I want you to use your imagination. I want you to transport yourself back in time and place yourself in that scene 2,000 years ago as we're going to read that. And so get your imagination. You know, my teachers always used to tell me in school, put your imagination cap on. Anybody get that? You know, so they say thinking cap sometimes and imagination cap other times. And so today I want you just to put on your imagination and begin to think about this. So as I read Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, it's in your outline, it's on the screen if you want to follow along. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Okay, just stop and pause for a minute. If you remember, the angel showed up and told Mary it was going to happen. And Mary said, may it be to me. I wonder how Joseph found out. Mary tell him? Somebody else tell him? Because the text says, before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Wow, that's an exciting honeymoon. Just saying, young man gets married. Now he's got to wait before till the baby comes. Is your imagination working? Do you feel emotions of Joseph? Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, if you think about it, the announcement of the coming of Jesus through the early years and his birth, you know, Joseph's life, as Dave's already mentioned, Joseph's life took a drastic turn, right? I mean, we don't know a lot about Joseph, but we know this, his life took a drastic turn. I mean, think about it. Life is going great for him, and then out of nowhere, you know, his whole life was turned upside down, and everything changed. I mean, think about Joseph's life. What was going on? I mean, his business apparently was going good. He's getting married, right? Business is going good. He's a respected person in the community. He's engaged to be married to a young lady from a respectable family. His plans and dreams for life were just all coming together until one day. Everything was good until one day he got the news and everything changed. And Joseph's world's rocked. What do you pray when your world is rocked? I mean, I want to think about the crisis for Joseph for a minute. I mean, think about what Joseph went through. I mean, these are some of the things that I'm thinking. And maybe your imagination will bring up more things that might have happened. But here's some of the things that I was thinking of about Joseph and the crisis he faced. First of all, Joseph, his fiancée is pregnant and he is not the father. A little stunning, right? He finds out Mary's pregnant. He's not the father. And then his fiance, number two, his fiance still claims to be a virgin. I mean, come on. We all know how that happens. You don't get pregnant, you know. I mean, this is how it works. So what happened? It wasn't me, you know. So now his fiance is pregnant. Okay, number three, how do you divorce? You know, because when they were engaged, they had to, under Jewish law, they had to go through a divorce proceeding even if they were engaged. How do you get a divorce and save the dignity of the families? How do you do that? I mean, you're in a little town. Nazareth isn't a huge town, okay? So how do you, you know, everybody's finding out. So what do? Put her away silently. Where do we send her? Do you get it? What's going on? I mean, this is what Joseph is trying to figure out. Now, and on top of that, now he has the responsibility of raising God's son. When he finds out it's from God, you know, to have the responsibility of raising God's son, and he wasn't even consulted. Mary, you know, yeah, told Mary, yeah, let it be done to me. Joseph, he finds out the hard way, okay? No, you know, who's telling him? I mean, oh, I got to raise God's son? I mean, I didn't buy into this. This is not what I signed up for. And so now he's not even consulted, but now he's got God's son to raise. Then, okay, I mean, think about this, guys. I mean, I'm not saying anything negative, but he had to walk a very pregnant wife from Nazareth to Bethlehem, okay, guys? I don't know. I mean, if you can, some of you think back to pregnancy days and emotions and walking all that distance. Now, if you think Mary's getting on a donkey, I got news for you. So there's nowhere in the scriptures about that. So she gets to walk from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And when he gets to Bethlehem, there's no place to stay. You know, how do you tell your wife that's very pregnant, about to have a baby, and just walked all these miles, you know, to get to Bethlehem? Okay, so now there's no place to stay. So his wife is ready to have a baby now in an unsanitary stable. All right, anybody, right? You know, and so then here's the last one I was thinking of. He had to deliver this baby without a midwife. Now, Joseph was a carpenter. He wasn't a farmer. I mean, I can understand if he's a farmer, if he's raising livestock, sheep, cattle, whatever. You know, birthing, he kind of has an idea how it works. Carpenters, you know, doesn't work that way. That's not, that I don't do that. And so now Joseph is now, you know, he's got to deliver his own son. God's son, in fact, and he can't make a mistake, and he's never done this before. I mean, and when, do you get me where I'm at? This is what Joseph went through. And it's reality, folks. It's reality of the emotions and the feelings and the things that Joseph faced. You know, and all of that was only the beginning. That's just the beginning. Because later, now, he's got to flee to Egypt because there are threats to his lives, to the lives of his family, to the lives of his son. And so he heads off to Egypt. And he's got to wait there. And then he ends up going back to, you know, after Herod dies, oh, you can come home now, although you can't go back to Jerusalem, you can't go back to Bethlehem because, you know, of Herod's son that's on the throne, this is not good, so we got to go to Nazareth, and we got to sneak back into the country and get set up in Nazareth. So we have all that stuff. So we had to set up shop in a foreign land until the threat was gone, and then he has to go back to Nazareth and start a business up again. So, I mean, this is all the stuff that Joseph went through. And like I said, we don't really know anything about Joseph. We don't hear him talk. We don't really see anything. All we see is his action. And that's my question is, what did Joseph pray? What do you think Joseph prayed? You know, my prayer, I can tell you what my prayer would be. My prayer is, you know, why God? It's not the way I plan things. This isn't the way I planned it, God. You know, I don't know if you're a fan of Max Lucado, anybody a friend of Max Lucado. I love Max Lucado. There's, in one of his books, he writes about, you know, he writes a prayer that Joseph might have prayed. And I'm going to bore you with this morning. So I know it's dark and gloomy and rainy outside, but I want you to stay focused here with me as I read what Lucado writes about what Joseph might have prayed. My child being born in a stable? This isn't the way I thought it would be. A cave with sheep and donkeys and hay and straw? My wife has given birth with only the stars to hear her pain? This isn't at all what I imagined. No, I imagined family. I imagined grandmothers. I imagined neighbors clustered outside the door and friends standing by my side. I imagined the house erupting with the first cry of the infant, slaps on the back, loud laughter, jubilation. That's how I thought it would be. The midwife would hand me my child, and all the people would applaud. Mary would rest, and we would celebrate, and all of Nazareth would celebrate. But now look, Nazareth is 5 days' journey away. And here we are in in a sheep pasture. I mean, who will celebrate with us? The sheep? The shepherds? The stars? This doesn't seem right. What kind of husband am I? You know, I provide no midwife to aid my wife, no bed to rest her back. Her pillow is a blanket from my donkey. My house for her is a shed of hay and straw. The smell is bad. The animals are loud. Why, I even smell like a shepherd myself. Did I miss something? Did I, God? When you sent the angel and spoke of a son being born, this isn't what I pictured. You know, I envisioned Jerusalem, the temple, priests, the people gathered to watch a pageant, perhaps, a parade, a banquet at least. I mean, this is the Messiah. Or if not Jerusalem, how about Nazareth? I mean, wouldn't Nazareth have been better? I mean, at least I have my house and my business. You know, out here, what do I have? A weary mule and a stack of firewood and a pot of warm water? This is not the way that I wanted it to be. This is not the way that I wanted my son. Oh my. I did it again, didn't I, Father? I don't mean to do that. It's just that I forget. He's not my son. He's yours. This is yours. This child is yours. The plan is yours. The idea is yours. Forgive me for asking. Is this how God enters the world? The coming of the angel, I accepted the quest, the questions people ask about the pregnancy, I can tolerate. The trip to Bethlehem, fine. But why birth in a stable, God? Any minute now, Mary will give birth, not to a child, but to the Messiah. Not to an infant, but to God. That's what the angel said. That's what Mary believes. And God, my God, that's what I want to believe. But surely you can understand, it's not easy. It seems so, so bizarre. I'm unaccustomed to such strangeness, God. I'm a carpenter. I make things fit. I square off the edge. I follow the plumb line. I measure twice before I cut once. You know, surprises are not the friend of a builder. I like to know the plan. I like to see the plan before I begin. But this time, you know, I'm not the builder, am I? This time I'm a tool. A hammer in your grip, a nail between your fingers, a chisel in your hand. This project is yours, not mine. I guess it's foolish of me to question you. Forgive my struggling. Trust doesn't come easy to me, God. But you never said it would be easy, did you? One final thing, Father. The angel that you sent, any chance you could send another? You know, if not an angel, maybe a person. I don't know anyone around here, and some company would be nice. Maybe the innkeeper or a traveler, or even a shepherd would do. You think Joseph ever prayed anything like that? I'm sure the emotions went there. Perhaps he didn't. I don't think we'll ever really know, will we? I mean, I'm just thinking, but I'm guessing at some time you prayed something like that. I mean, you've stood where Joseph has stood. You're caught between what God says and what makes sense. I mean, you've done what you were told to do, only to wonder if it was him speaking to you in the first place. You stared into the sky blackened with doubt. Anybody? And you've asked what Joseph has asked. You've asked it If you're still on the right road, you've asked that. You've asked if you were supposed to turn left when you turned right. And you ask if there's a plan behind this scheme. Now, things haven't turned out the way you thought they would. I think each of us knows what it's like to search the night for some light. You know, not outside a stable, okay? I'm not talking about being outside a stable, but maybe outside an emergency room. Or on the gravel on the roadside. Or on the manicured grass of a cemetery. Or on the other end of a pink slip. Or possibly the news that you got in the doctor's office or the hospital. I mean, we've asked the questions. And we've questioned God's plan. I have. Haven't you? We've wondered why God does what he does. Anybody? Is there anybody else like me? Now, like I said, we don't know much about Joseph, but we know about how Joseph handled being rocked. We can see this from Scripture. And so this morning, I just want to take a look at this real briefly. How did Joseph respond? When you look at Joseph's life, when you look at all that happened, how did Joseph respond? Well, first of all, I think he was honest with his doubts. I mean, he was honest with them. I mean, he questioned. I mean, look in Matthew 1:19, it says he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I mean, he didn't doubt. He didn't believe her. Right? When he found out she was pregnant and it wasn't him, he didn't believe her. That's why he was going to divorce her. You know, so he was honest with his doubts. God, I don't know that this is for you. You know, she says it's you know, this is a miraculous thing. You know, I wasn't with a man. I don't, you know, but I'm pregnant, you know. And really, because she took off and was with Elizabeth for months. How many weeks? A day comes by and she's pregnant. The second thing I noticed about Joseph is, how did he respond? He maintained his godly character. You know, he had his doubts, but he still maintained his character. I mean, if you look at verse 19 again, it says Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her or to public disgrace. In other words, you know, you look at his own character, he didn't want to put shame on her. You know, people are going to think he was responsible for it. He didn't want to put shame on her, and he didn't want other people to know that, okay, it wasn't Joseph, but so you can see what he had in mind. I mean, you look at verse 25, it said, and he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And so you see the righteousness of Joseph. I mean, just look at that. I mean, his character, he knew, you know, that this is the Son of God. Well, if this is the Son of God, then he can have no union with her until she gives birth to a son. And then number three, here's how Joseph responded. He did what he had to do. I mean, you look at chapter 2, verse 4 of Luke. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. That was his responsibility. There was a thing. And so naturally, he went back to be taxed like he was supposed to do. He did the right thing, and he took his pregnant wife with him. Right thing to do, even though it was a difficult thing to do. Any of you guys want to walk 5 days when you're fully pregnant? Anybody? No, I didn't think so. Number four, how Joseph responded, he listened for God's voice. You know, this is amazing to me. In verse 20, it says, in Matthew chapter 1, it says, but after he considered this, after he considered divorcing her, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said. So he was listening to what God said. He heard what God said. You know, God isn't speaking directly to him, but he's in a dream state, and God speaks to him that way. And so he understands this is from God. And then number five, you know, here's how I know Joseph responded. He was obedient to God's instructions. Because verse 24 says, you know, right up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. So God spoke to him through an angel in a dream, and so Joseph did what he was told to do. I mean, you look at him, he was obedient to what God says. You know, he had his doubts, but he maintained his character. He did what he was supposed to do. He was focused on the voice of God. And not only did he hear the voice of God, he acted upon it and he obeyed the instructions. And sometimes, folks, I think that's the hardest thing to do. You know, if I'm Joseph, I don't know what I would have done. It's a lot. And even though he seems like a minor character, as Dave said in the story, what Joseph did changed the world. Suppose he would have refused to marry Mary. That's kind of funny. You know, Mary, okay. You know, it just sounds funny. But he refused to marry her. You know, what would have happened? You know, what if he had divorced her and put her away? What would have happened? What would have happened? He said, you know, I'm not going to Egypt. You know, what would have happened? I mean, think about all the decisions that Joseph made, you know, in following the instructions of the Lord. He had choices all along the way, but he was obedient all along the way. And to me, that's something. And so my question is, has there something rocked your world? You know, we all been praying for Aiden. You know, Chris's world is rocked. Your 14-year-old son hit by a car. He's not coming back. They moved him this week, St. Pat's, into hospice. And even after they took him off the ventilation, you know, he surprisingly held his own and has been holding his own, made the trip. So right now he's in hospice. Now, I look at Chris and I'm thinking, how are you going to respond? I mean, it's a tough thing. And that's why I think it's important for all of us to come alongside of one another during times when we're rocked. Because he isn't the only one, okay? He isn't the only one who are facing difficulty. I know some of you are as well. I know some of you have, you know, facing things. And the question is right now, what's your prayer? What's your response? You know, for all of us, I think we need to come alongside of one another, but I think if we're facing it individually, you know, we have to be honest with God. And I think if we're going to follow Joseph's pattern, then, you know, there's a challenge for us personally. And I was thinking as I did that, there's a little song, a little chorus that we sing sometimes, and I just want you to sing it with me. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified in my life, Lord, be glorified today. God, that's really our prayer. You know, life is really hard. It's been hard for us in the last couple of years, especially here, and all the things that we've had to go through on top of all the stuff that the country's going through and pandemic and everything else. And a lot of us have faced some crazy situations, and you know, some of us have lost loved ones over the last couple of years. We faced really some very difficult times, very difficult challenges. You know, sometimes we forget to listen to your voice. And things haven't really worked out always the way we thought that they would and what we hoped that they would. But God, we just want to trust in you. And whatever happens, just like Joseph, we just want to be, you know, reflect your glory. So the people would see you and glorify you, you know, through us. Father, the world's a mess right now. We need people like Joseph. Who, even though the world was turned upside down for him, continued to shine for you. And continued to be obedient to you. And continued to give glory to you. Father, thank you for that in our lives. that you're there with us, that even though things look like they're out of control, they're not out of control in you. And this we pray in your son's name. Amen. This morning on the back of your card, you can always write, you know, your prayer request or what your